A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Check and furthermore, mate.
What actor going back and forth?
Got an ass like an amphitheater.
It begins with a U, it ends with an A. Has a meal near shelter.
Monday Night Raw, number one. All right.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw Review as the other Cultaholic lads get geared up for an NXT invasion. We are here via our IcaPro-powered DeLorean being invaded by awful wrestling from the early to mid-90s. And who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, former Cultaholic heavyweight champion Tom Campbell. I am with the bear in the big blue bar, Cage the Head Pen of Cultaholic. If you were to hand him a pencil, he would do an Adam Cole and kick its head off on SmackDown and on Raw main events, because he doesn't need a pencil. He writes with a pen. He gets it right every time. He's Justin Henry, and he is off of America.
Baby.
Justin Henry, baby.
See, it doesn't sound like
it. That's the noise it makes.
I need one name with one syllable, otherwise it wouldn't work. See, now Tom Campbell, baby, would work.
Well, Adam Cole, I suppose, yeah, one syllable. Just Henry, baby.
Some people call me Jay, so that works. Jay Henry, baby.
People that can't remember the rest of your name.
Well, I was in school with another kid named Justin who was more popular than me, so to differentiate, I was Jay.
Oh, was it really based on popularity? That sucks.
Fun fact, he is actually the cousin of the richest player in Major League Baseball.
Oh, you know what? I like him more than you as well. I'm kidding.
I understand.
I don't even follow the baseball. We call it rounders over here.
Well, that's because you live in a messed up society.
No, hey. Don't start giving out about us around Thanksgiving. There, you turned your back on us.
You can always eat at my table anytime. I don't care.
I'll eat your table anytime. Hey, look, we're not alone this week, Justin Henry.
We're not.
I don't think so. Right, there's a man looking at me through the window.
Oh, boy.
Yes, peering in through the window out in the cold is our favorite vagrant, our good friend Sydney Zumowitz, who joined us last week and had so much fun. She wanted to join us again this week in the hopes that this time we could have a coherent show. So welcome, Sydney.
Thanks for having me. I'm a little tired, but I'm going to make it through. And yes, Tom, I'm staring at you out of the window.
Oh, that is you. Oh.
Every breath you take, every move you make.
My favorite song about active stalking by the police.
And so romantic.
Oh, isn't it just? What I like is that, so Sydney comes from our Cultaholic Discord server. She's one of the mods on Discord, which I'm learning more about now. I am a growing, maturing adult. Last week, Sid joined us when we did the show at a reasonable time for Off of America. And and I was in a fit of mania. And Sid was like, I don't want to come back and do another one. I said, okay, but normally we do it in time that suits me. So welcome to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday, to your 10:15 in the morning, Sid.
Honestly, it was more my fault. I stayed up a little later than I probably should have. And so my alarm went off at 9:30, and then I turned it off, and I went back to sleep, woke up to Wakey Wakey from Justin at 9:55.
Oh, that's always nice to roll over and wake up to.
That's me, I'm the goofer. Make sure everyone's in line.
Well, it's nice to have you back. Welcome back to it.
It's awesome to be back.
Incidentally, why were you up late? Were you chatting to boys on Habbo Hotel again? What have I told you?
I was playing Xbox with Austin.
Oh, that's the fairly. What are you playing on the Xbox?
We play Destiny 2 most of the times. It's a shooter game, sort of.
I know Destiny 2. I'm not that old.
Is it like Qbert?
Justin, however, is that old.
Yes.
Is it like Qbert?
Extreme Pong.
I love a bit of Extreme Pong. So, we are here, gathered here, not just to catch up on games we like. No. We are here to go back to the halcyon days of 1994 WWF as we chronologically critique, thank you OSW Review, every single episode of Monday Night Raw from the very beginning to the bitter end or my death next year. Before we get into the rigors of Monday Night... Oh, incidentally, I had a tweet off somebody saying, I hope you don't die next year. Which, out of context, sounds really sinister.
Yes, it's from an anonymous account. I hope you don't die next year.
I also had a message from somebody saying,
very,
God was
very bad.
That's good.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
Yeah, it's all right, mate.
I'll get you next time, Gadget.
That's a good impression.
Yeah,
Thank you. It's my death metal voice. It's also the Shockmaster and the Black Scorpion. Come on, you want a piece of me? Sid, you've ruled the world long enough, Sid Vicious. Get ready.
What I enjoyed about the Shockmaster was while he was talking, his hand motions just didn't match up with the cadence in which he was speaking.
Well, first, he started making the gestures while Sid was talking because Sid Vicious is not our good friend Sid here. But Sid Vicious, because he was so disoriented, he thought Sid talking was Ole Anderson doing the voice from off the set. Watch it again. I swear to God, that's what happens.
Everything about that is a cluster fudge. I love it. I love it. I love it.
As Kevin Nash pointed out later on the shoot, it's like, if you're Sid in Harlem Heat, will you just run over and start beating him down while he's on the ground?
Oh, Jeebus. So we are back around the 20. So actually, before, that's not my job to say where and when we are. We throw that to Justin Henry to tell us where and when are we this week, Justin Henry?
Oh, jeez, all the pressure in the world on me.
All the pressure, buddy.
Yes. It is Monday, April 25th, 1994. We are still stuck in Utica.
Oh, it's an Albany
2 weeks
Express.
Ago. Ha ha, last time we could do that for a while.
Oh.
I know, it's... I love how the graphic for this episode was Jeff Jarrett holding Razor Ramon in the sleeper hold, and Razor just looks totally nonplussed. Like, like he's skin is orange, Cassidy.
It is literally a photo of the only time you will ever see Jeff Jarrett going over Razor Ramon.
That's not quite true, but it kind of is true, too.
It is and it isn't, isn't it? Also, from this day, is this also the day that the WWF WrestleMania Revenge Tour gets underway, according to the Wrestling Observer? So this is the post-WrestleMania 10 national tour that the WWF is running. And this is set to be their biggest one ever. They've blown the budget and made it every show feel a bit bigger. They've paid for more lights, better entrance, and all of this stuff. The wrestling is still pretty standard, apart from Bret and Owen, which is probably the best match of each night, according to Dave Meltzer. And there have been some very notable no-shows.
Yes, one that gets pointed out during this episode of Raw. And not only pointed out, but very much harped upon.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We'll get into that as we get into that. But let us crack straight on with a brand new episode of Monday Night Raw from 1994.
Now, Tom, you've worked in the entertainment industry for some time.
Some would say that, yeah.
When a show starts, it's very important that you highlight perhaps the most important thing that you will see on the upcoming show in an attempt to keep people glued to the television set. Is that correct?
yeah, what you would tend to do, and I don't know whether you both started noticing this, is that I'll always now put a particularly funny line from the show at the very beginning of the show, before even the show rolls. Mm-hmm. I think last week we started, Sid, you pointed this out, last week we started the show with, "I hear you're a woman from a family." and if you're not laughing at that, you missed last week. Go listen to that. It's manic and it's delicious. Yeah, so I get the importance of putting top loading a show.
Yes, you want to tease the crowd a little bit and say, "Oh, what's this going to be?" And then you stay tuned. For this show, before we hit the standard Raw opening, they show Nikolai Volkov in his pinstripe suit in the front row. He's going to be a guest on the King's Court tonight. And then they hit the intro.
Mate, that's massive news. Nikolai Volkov is going to be on King's Court.
Okay, now give me the non-sarcastic version, Tom.
Nikolai Volkov, it's going to be on King's Court.
As he pulls his boot flask out of his sock.
I don't even know. I don't know who he is very much, but I know he is a legend because they kept on saying it. So, I mean, I was hoping it was better than
Alundra.
Yep, that was it. I hope it's better than when she was on the King's Court.
I watched Nikolai Volkov wrestle in 2017. That is the absolute truth. He beat CZW owner DJ Hyde in a warehouse in Williamstown, New Jersey.
Wow.
Tom, you still there?
I'm still here. That sounds like something out of Game Changer Wrestling.
Nikolai actually hit a forward roll on the Hyde's body, like almost like a standing swanton bomb at one point. And this is the year before he died.
Oh, was that? It wasn't as a result of that, was it?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
He looked great. I mean, he looked great for a man who was pushing 70. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, I need to find footage of this. I am intrigued. I am very intrigued.
Yes, it was very, very odd to hear Volkov enter to his WWF music, which, you know, don't tell anybody. His legend song, which is like that very sad sort of melancholy violin song.
Oh.
And have DJ come out to like death metal.
It's a nice combination.
Volkov sang God Bless America, DJ hit him from behind, and he had like a 3-minute match and Volkov won.
I love it. Do you know what my favorite entrance music is to Nikolai Volkov?
What's that?
When he came out at WrestleMania 17 to the
Ludwig's theme.
To Ludwig Borger's theme.
Dun, 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 dun. Like, that's European enough.
Ludwig Borger was Swedish, wasn't he? Was he Swedish or Finnish?
Finnish.
Yeah, so Ludwig Borger, a Finnish wrestler who had the Finnish anthem as his theme. And Nikolai Volkov comes out to the Finnish anthem at WrestleMania 17 because Vince just goes, it's a foreign song. It's fine.
it's WWE. It's just how they operate.
It's so
But yes, so Nikolai, you know, God rest his soul, is involved in the King's Court here. And I got to admit, I didn't have high hopes for this. And they were almost met.
Did we notice at the very beginning of this show just how manic Randy Savage is tonight?
Oh my goodness, Randy Savage is on another planet on this show.
100% agree. He seemed like he was absolutely insane tonight.
I mean, he's usually very insane, but this is a special level of insane.
Yeah.
As you'll see during the opening match, it's almost as if he and Vince are taking turns doing the final scene in Scarface together.
That is alarmingly accurate, to be fair. Yeah.
A lot of pixie sticks, shall we say. Because the commentary is at a shout. If Michael Cole or Vic Joseph or whoever they have now, like these boring guys, are one of the spectrum, Vince and Savage are the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh, they were on something tonight. It was bordering on organized shambles tonight.
It was half Al Pacino and Scarface, half Al Pacino and Son of a Woman.
Accurate.
John's got sleeper hold on. John? I want scent of a Linda. Scent of a Linda.
Get on that, John.
And I mean, Savage has a shade. This should have been his gimmick, blind wrestler. And his Ouya could have been the Hua.
The Ouya is the Hua. That is a wonderful sentence.
I'm going to be the first man in the history of the world that ever utter those words in that sequence.
The Ouya is the Hua.
So Vince McMahon shows his cultural understanding when he says that Jeff Jarrett spends his time watching reruns of Hee Haw.
He said something here that, was it meant to be a joke? Because it felt like it was supposed to be a joke, but I didn't quite get it.
About Hee Haw?
Yeah.
Yes, Hee Haw is the redneckiest of rednecky shows, and it came on like in the 60s.
Because he says, like, he starts talking about the characters in Hee Haw as well, and it was like, he doesn't even like that character. Very odd line.
Well, see, I've never actually watched Hee Haw, but I had older relatives who did. And that really says all you need to know about Hee Haw. It was basically a show. It was like a redneck variety show that was on for many years.
Right, I'm with you.
Yeah. I have no real frame of reference from it. I know who Buck Owens is. It was one of the stars of the show. I did write my notes. That might be lost on this audience, and apparently it is.
Yeah. I can't imagine anybody would have got that.
Yeah, this is 1994. I'm pretty sure Hee Haw was not culturally relevant for at least 15 years by this point. It was the Tiny Tim of redneck stuff.
Sounds about right for Vince then.
Yes, this is edgy Vince. Because it's raw, we're hardcore. We have old crooners on the show, and Savage calls this a momentum match. God, they love that term, don't they?
What does he mean by that?
Well, I mean, it makes sense in context. What he's saying is that this match is not for the belt, so this is a non-title match. But if Razor wins, then he has momentum going into Saturday against Diesel on Superstars, because he got a win, he beat a capable opponent in Jeff Jarrett. He's got momentum on his side, but if Jarrett wins, not only does Razor have diminished momentum because he's coming off a loss versus Diesel, but Jarrett himself can elevate himself up the card because, you know, he beat a great competitor, so he has momentum on his side.
See, I don't mind that. I like giving some credence and some purpose to a non-title match or an exhibition match or something like that. I'm a big fan of this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that part's fine, but you watch today, Michael Cole, he's building momentum. He's building momentum. He's building momentum. They love that word.
It's a strong word, momentum. It's brilliant in Scrabble.
I want a WWE word of the day counter where every day is just momentum.
That would be wonderful.
So we have a moment where, first we have Razor abusing Tony Chimble for fun. Yes, that is the man he hands his gold to is the very man who years later will be saying, the rated R superstar, Edge.
I love seeing Tony Chimble ringside, knowing that he is just earning his keep before becoming a fully fledged ring announcer.
I believe he's on the ring crew at this point, too.
Earning his coin, earning his stripes. What a guy.
Blue-collar Tony Chimble.
Yeah, I get behind blue-collar Tony.
Jarrett sells the toothpick to the face by walking backwards, mortified.
Now, after this, Savage comes out with a line that confuses me, where he talks about... Oh, look at that, Jarrett and Razor sharing toothpicks, something you shouldn't do in the 90s.
I'm confused.
I was a child of the 90s, and I'm confused, too.
It seems like it should be offensive to somebody, but it was just confusing. Like, in the 80s, it was fine to share toothpicks. In the 70s, it was encouraged, but in the 90s, no, not in the 90s.
I'm trying to think about what this could be in my head, and it's not going to a good place. Is it involved docking, perhaps?
As in, like, your iPhone?
No, I don't think that's what he's talking about, Tom.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't know, sharing toothpaste. Like, what could that possibly mean?
I'm thinking of it in the literal sense, like someone actually sharing toothpicks, but I doubt that's what he means.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chico, you got to try some of these hors d'oeuvres. Here, have my toothpick, man.
There was a great toothpick shortage in the 90s, so we all had to share toothpicks back in the 90s.
Yeah, it was when the rainforest started to burn, we ran out of toothpicks. So Savage, during this match, keep in mind, this is Manic Macho at his finest. He marks out for the double feature.
He really does.
It's maybe the first like true picture-in-picture instant replay of a move that happened during a match. It's Razor's fallaway slam. And Savage goes, my new favorite part of Raw.
Have we never had double features before on Raw?
It's maybe the first. I'm not entirely sure.
This feels quite momentous then.
Well, no, don't defend Savage. Savage at one time was the coolest guy in the business. Cream of the crop, cut the greatest promos, moved around the ring like a friggin' madman. He embodied cool. He embodied awesome. Now he's marking out over not that awesome technology.
It does get very excited. How was it when he said, I can't believe this is happening? So excited by the prospect of double vision.
If you ever watch the 50th anniversary DVD of WWE that came out like maybe 2013, Jake Roberts is one of the talking heads on there, and he is impressed by everything. Like, we have TV trucks. What the hell? What time are we living in? Like he just... Like, everything amazes him, and I think Savage might be in that same boat.
He's just excited just to be there.
Oh my god, we got special nameplates on the screen. We're living in a new age.
Moon Pie, what a time to be alive.
We went from cool Savage to Savage actually going backwards in his life, becoming a child again, being amazed at everything.
Are you suggesting that Randy Savage is Benjamin Button?
Yes, that's exactly what I am suggesting.
I don't know what that means. That movie doesn't come out for 15 years.
So therefore, I know what it means. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Why am I aging in reverse?
I was thinking that maybe it's almost like this week, you know, Randy Savage is particularly manic this week. Like it's an alter ego. So I started referring to him as Keishin Randy Savage throughout most of this. Like, It's that ridiculous part of Randy Savage that comes out every so often.
It's like somebody won a Randy Savage impersonation contest and first prize was doing the show as Randy Savage. Just do your best, Randy. Go nuts. Literally, go nuts. I wrote down several of Savage's actual quotes from this match, and here are two of them. Streets of Miami, you're smiling on Razor right now. And... psychologically, this is one of the biggest matches I've seen.
I know. You know what? Bless him. He's really trying.
It's like Jim Morrison just sings whatever he writes down on his notepad. Like, even like the weird ideas.
I say fair play to him. He's just going for it this week.
I think what he's doing, he's trying to be so bad on commentary that Vince is, you know, just go back to the ring.
Is that what it is?
Yes. I think that's what he's doing. Like, if you do a job badly enough, you don't get asked to do it again.
It's basically like anybody doing the dishes at home.
Yeah, pretty much. or doing leaves outside, whichever.
Am I right in thinking that this Jeff Jarrett Razor Ramon match is ridiculously underwhelming, which is why we're spending so long talking about Randy Savage?
I think it's because Savage was so over the top that we couldn't help but notice him instead of the match.
He really did steal the spotlight here.
It's like, put me in the ring and I won't cause this problem anymore. It's like you have Lawler, just put him on commentary.
He's busy doing the King's Court, mate.
Oh, yes, that's true. That's much more important.
Speaking to women from families.
Savage lets us know that he hasn't been the same since the double feature. And then he goes on a boxing tangent about George Foreman. Randy thought maybe this could be the silver bullet, manufactured energy. Age was a number, he reasoned. and if Vince could only see him at peak zestiness, he could undo the elderly stigma that his supposed friend had placed over him. But while whooping it up as though he'd stored amphetamines in his cheeks, not unlike the common tree squirrel does with nuts, he knew this was a losing battle. Soon the taping would end, and it was back to his lonely, echo-filled abode on the Gulf Coast. But the money still rolled in, but was he earning it? Wrestling balled his pool, and those Slim Jims filled it with water. He yearned for a piece of the genuine action once more. Play along with my nonsensical ravings, boss man. Humor me with your forced mirth. While you do that, I'm going to keep my eyes peeled, because somebody else out there is going to crack the window just enough for my absurdly neon cowboy hat to fit through.
Park life!
That's a hell of a signature for Savage cereal. So we come out of commercial break and Vince is now screaming.
I like how all we've done is talk about the commentary. Like it's Razor and Jarrett. Like in this era, this is probably as good as it could possibly get in terms of stars. And it's just like the commentary, rightly so, has overshadowed the entire match.
Did we get mad at fans for hijacking matches with chants? These two are hijacking a match with their commentary.
It's so true. They really are. They don't need to. Like, I think you're right in what you said earlier. Like, they went and had a little quiet meeting in a room somewhere before this show started. Had a little bit of a livener.
And then out came the Tasmanian Devil. just that whirlwind. That sounds like Vince doing something very naughty, by the way. Don't ever repeat that. It's not a lawnmower. So Vince and Savage go nuts over a sleeper hold.
They were going crazy about it.
Far too excited.
Oh my god, he's gonna kill Razor. Don't kill Razor. We need him to draw. Oh lord, don't kill him. Savage says being in Jarrett's sleeper must be the most embarrassing thing in the world if you're Razor Ramon. What does that say about Jeff Jarrett?
Yeah, that's a bit insulting.
His father wouldn't book me, so to hell with him. So Razor makes a comeback and then gets dumped to the floor. And then Sean comes out to save everything. Razor clocks Sean, then stops Jarrett from building momentum. Then Savage yells, "The one-man gang, Razor Ramon!"
Now, he's thinking of the one-man gang, the one-man gang.
Oh, certainly. John, I want Razor dressed as Akeem.
Yes, please, mate.
Yo, Chico, got the jive soul, bro. So Sean's in the ring now, and Hebner's just letting this go on because Hebner, and it's first time Hebner's ever been good to Sean like this. So Sean's in the ring for like a full minute. Razor's just clocking him around the ring. Hebner's doing nothing at all. Then Diesel runs in, saves Sean from the Razor's edge. Then finally, it's a disqualification. While Diesel and Sean are beating Razor down to the ring, you see Jarrett in the aisleway with his arms raised in triumph, even though he lost by DQ.
I lost, but I'm a winner in life.
That's right. That's how Road Dogg would describe it on Twitter. If you point, Kevin Owens' character is a winner, so he could lose every match. That's nice, Road Dogg. So meanwhile, jackknife on Razor and another. Then Diesel stands on Razor's chest and holds his fist up. Then Sean stands on Razor's chest and high fives Diesel. All right, that was pretty funny.
As they're leaving,
they're celebrating their big triumph, and Sean yells to the camera, "With my help!" All right, that was even funnier.
What did you make of this match, Sid?
The match, again, the commentary really overshadowed it, but that ending was pretty good. I liked how they kind of were building on to the next show and stuff. And, I really liked, Sean high-fiving Diesel and then saying, "And I helped."
Sean is a great POS heel. He's one of the absolute best at it.
Absolutely.
We can go backstage where Sean and Diesel are in the Cultaholic office.
They are they? That's incredible. Yes. I don't know, like, where is this? Like, obviously it's in Newcastle upon Tyne, but they're once again in the Cultaholic steel cage offices.
Seanaholic.
I saw this start and I was expecting Diesel to ask if I liked a lot of wrestling on my YouTube.
Big Daddy Driver.
Shawn Michaels starts talking about things he's bought from Home Bargains.
The Heartbreak Jack.
Randy Savage ain't going, yeah, there's nothing weak to IT but my no doubt at Rise. Yeah.
Savage's going to host WTF and it's going to be about his commentary. You dirty diddlers.
Oh my god, Randy Savage calling somebody a dirty diddler.
The end is nigh, the end is nigh.
I live for Randy Savage calling somebody a diddler.
You numpty.
You can't, like, genuinely, like, you can't appreciate outside of the cultaholic stratosphere, like, how awful the word diddler is. Like, the context outside of cultaholic is pretty damning. But within it, it's fine. We all laughed. And I don't know whether you caught this as well, guys, watching AEW this week. When Matthew had a heart attack, when Pac looked down the lens of the camera and went, I heard what you've been saying about me. And Matthew was like, oh, no, you're just calling him a diddler.
Matthew's a very fearful man.
I think, well, the fact that there was a sign saying Pac is a diddler on AEW and the crowd start chanting diddler at him.
Diddle me this.
Pac's a diddler.
Poor Pac. He's just trying to wrestle and hurt people in peace.
Not even a diddler.
No, he's Pac. He's a bastard. That's something
he's
completely different.
He's a bastard,
different.
Not a diddler. Would like it to be known.
Difference.
Would like it to be known if you're listening to this for the first time and you've had no context behind Cultaholic, Pac is a bastard, not a diddler.
Correct. Just want to clarify that. So Diesel points out, the opportunity was there and I seized it. And he vows to win the Intercontinental title from Razor on Saturday.
Now, Saturday,
spoiler alert.
Is this a house show? Is this the WrestleMania Revenge Tour?
No, this is on Superstars.
Right, okay.
This match has already been taped. It was taped 12 days before this on April 13th. And I can tell you that Diesel did, in fact, beat Razor to win the Intercontinental title.
Hey!
Match went 5 minutes and 43 seconds. He won with a jackknife after Razor hit the ring post after Shawn pulled the turnbuckle off one of the coverings. And then Shawn Diesel celebrated ringside, and Razor goes down in defeat.
Wow.
His 6-month reign is over.
Diesel's the IC champ.
Diesel is Intercontinental Champion at the time of this show aired. Well, I'm sorry, not aired, but actually by the time next week's show airs.
What an ascension for Diesel. In such a short amount of time, to go from a relative nobody to the Intercontinental Champion.
You ever hear the story of how he came to WWE in
93? No, go on.
I'll keep it as short as I can, but he was jobbing out as Vinny Vegas in WCW, and Bill Watts owned WCW, or maybe not Bill Watts, but it's probably Bischoff at this point in time. But Shawn liked him. He thought he was a very funny guy because he saw Nash doing his My Blue Heaven Steve Martin impression on Saturday Night, like, hey, I'm Vinny Vegas, hey! Like the most over-the-top, like, Jersey mobster accent he could possibly do. He wanted to bring him in, but he had a contract. Because Shawn wouldn't have a bodyguard for his character. So Nash does the job to a Van Hammer in front of like 100 fans in Mississippi on like a Thursday night in June 93. And he tells the office, like, you know, hey, I tried the wrestling thing. It's not for me. I want to get out. So he gets his release, faxes it to Vince immediately, says, oh, see, I'm not with him anymore. Gets signed immediately. And by Sunday, he's helping Shawn win the belt back from Jannetty on a house show.
Jeez.
His fortunes turned that quick.
It just helps being tall sometimes. Tall and charismatic.
Yeah. Well, he's hanging around with Shawn and Razor. You know, he got better through osmosis.
It's true. It's true. If you get to travel the road with people like that, you are going to get much better much quicker.
Not Van Hammer.
Oh! Did he hang out with him?
Well, he was wrestling him in matches. He was facing like guys like him and the... I don't even know who else at that point. he was like the very bottom of the card at that point in time. Vinny Vegas, like, he was always like totally irrelevant. But yeah, he made the right move.
But sometimes all your great talent and skill goes into one match and it just serves as the lifeblood of somebody else. I mean, look at Tom McGee, who had one match with Bret Hart and accidentally gave him all of his skill and talent. Bret Hart then utilized it for himself, and Tom McGee just faded into obscurity.
Yeah, Bret's a succubus.
Bret Hart is a succubus.
Yeah, it's
he is a carny succubus. McGee.
See, he deserved Montreal. he had it coming.
He had it coming.
So
John Bret Hart
on...
in Chicago. Sorry, carry on.
Bam Bam Bigelow versus Tony DeVito.
Yay, ECW original Tony DeVito.
And Bam Bam ended up there eventually, and actually so did Luna.
Did Luna do all ECW? Three of you?
95, yes.
She
actually beat Steve Richards in a cage match.
What?
I'm not making this up.
That's incredible. You made that up, didn't you?
No, this is all true stuff.
Oh, what? That's ace.
Look it up. So Vince goes on a tirade about Amy Carter's wedding, Amy Carter being the daughter of former President Jimmy Carter. And then Savage goes on a tangent about Prince Charles's dog being missing, which Vince cuts off.
All of this Sid, doesn't... Oh, sorry, go on.
I was like, Sid, you messaged me while watching the show to point out this unusual tirade. Can you... in a loud, clear voice, state what Randy Savage said about Prince Charles's dog.
So he was like, I'm trying to remember exactly. He was like, you know, Prince Charles's dog is named Pooh. Pooh, Pooh, where are you? Woof, woof, bark, bark. And I was just thinking, what has happened to this poor man?
He's seen better days.
He definitely has.
If this was the Savage Serial documentary, that's when the sad piano music would start. What happened to this once great man? Mm-hmm. So during the next program, we see Savage like playing with like Beanie Babies at the table. I'm going to name you Cosmo.
You're my best friend. And we're gonna go back into the wrestling ring one day.
We're gonna be champions together. And then Savage starts humming the flipper theme. As Vince throws him in the wheelbarrow and pushes him toward the home. Rings the doorbell and runs away. Savage is still sitting there playing with his beanie baby.
Vince is like, I've got it covered. You have your fun.
But Savage and Vince have to be on their best behavior during this match because President Jack Tunney calls in.
Yes! Tunney's on the line! Take the money, Tunney!
Jack on the take, Tunney.
Oh! And he, you know what? He sounds just as interested as anybody that has called the WWF hotline. But the difference is, I know this is Jack Tunney operating at full capacity.
Yes, it is. Tunney's on his game here. And by on his game, we mean low energy. But hey, you know, he does vow to investigate the Sean Diesel or Jarrett thing. And he does say investigate. What is he, close? So?
I'm going to investigate what happened. Mate, he just ran out and attacked him. What is there to investigate?
Okay, if Tony shows up on next week's show and he's wearing a Sherlock Holmes hat, would you be happy?
I'd be over the goddamn moon. Because if you're going out there going, okay, furthermore, I'm going to investigate what happened into this match. And they'd be like, mate, just Sean and Diesel ran in. Well, there's more to the story. No, there isn't, mate. They just ran in. Who ran in on... It was Diesel and Sean!
See, that's what happened.
Ran in, I will find out who.
See, that's what happened. Jesse Ventura stole his conspiracy theory show idea from Tony.
But I want Tony to do a show like that, but solving really obvious crimes.
Why would Fashion Booger once a minister or a friar? We're gonna investigate that.
No, it should
just
be
double life.
It should be stuff like the woman's body was on the ground. Next to her was a note saying, "I killed you. You used to be my best friend, and you slept with my husband." From Nikki, and there's an address, a phone number. And a motive. The blood on the paper is the blood of her friend Nikki, who cut herself on the knife. We have no idea who killed this woman, and we will get to the bottom of it.
What do you think, Watson? I don't know what that means.
I'm just playing with these plushies.
Here at Stamford Yard. See, I can do that to solve mysteries. I'm actually involved in something now.
We have a suspect, a motive, and a modus operandi. Oh, where are we even going to start with this case? We've got nothing.
How about we set the WWF hotline, have people call in and say who they think it is?
That's a great
idea. For
$1.99
a minute. Good, our company's going broke. We need the money.
Because in lack of anything other than actual evidence, we will just make a guess.
I can get Slim Jim to sponsor it.
Brilliant.
John.
In fact, I think you did it.
John, I want Jack Tunney as Sherlock Holmes and Macho Man as Watson. Thank you, John.
We're going to find out who burned down this orphanage. Call the WWF hotline.
Hello, it's me. I burned down the orphanage. Huh, do you know who did it? Yeah, I'm ringing to say that I did it. Ah, I see. So do you know who did it? Yeah, it was me! I'm telling you I did it! I hate orphans! If only you had a reason to do it. I do! I hate orphans! I see. Well, when you know more, please call me back.
And then he just hangs up on him.
Bye! Call the hotline now. We will find your loved ones dead or alive.
Look at this stupid orphans being all unparented and crap.
Ah, Justin, you did it.
Yes. If it ends this call, yes, I did it.
But don't hang up, I'm lonely.
But the secondary part of this call, other than Jack Tunney breathing heavy into the phone, is that next week we are getting the Hedgehringers and Quebecers for the tag team titles. And while Tony's informing us of this, Bam Bam almost kills Tony DeVito with a jumping enziguri. And that's the finish, which we missed the entire match because we listened to Jack Tunney dodder on like an old man.
But no, I can't blame Tunney because all these features are notoriously crap for telling stories in these matches. Because every time somebody rings, you've just got this monotone, yeah, well, I'm going to beat them. Whilst there's a wrestling match desperately trying to happen in the ring. Right, okay, here's an idea. Let's put this in a modern context as to how bad this is, okay? Right, say, for example, during on NXT this week, they had Ty Nara versus Santana Garrett. It's a match to try and put both these women over. Right? Great match. They had about 3 or 4 minute match. Imagine for the entire time you had Shayna Baszler on the phone talking very low about how much she hates Rhea Ripley.
Well, yeah, it does nobody any favors.
Exactly.
And it's all low energy anyway. Can you imagine like if they get in the wrong script, Tony calls in, yes, my brother Brett, I beat him at WrestleMania. No, Jack, wrong script. Oh, sorry. Yes, Tatanka, you didn't pay the gift tax on the headdress, so I had to destroy it.
I'm just reading all the scripts that are here. Furthermore.
Hey, where was this one over here? Pat, you got my goddamn lunch order wrong. No, that's mine. Put that away. So it's Hedgehringers and Quebecers next week for the tag team titles. And by the way, that taping takes place the night after this on a Tuesday for some reason.
Okay. Was it like a cheaper deal to get the room on a Tuesday?
I guess. It's in Vermont for some reason.
How very random.
Yes, this is we're not in the golden years at this point of WWE.
Mate, we are barely in the Bronze Age.
This is like tin.
We're in the age where they've just figured out they can't eat their own poo.
We're at the point now where we're just shattering beer bottles and gluing the fragments to a leather strap to make belts out of.
To Jack Tunney.
Yes, pretty much. So we cut backstage after Batman kills Tony DeVito. We have Raven and the Quebecers. Raven has this great sour look on his face. And Jacques says the Hedgehringers were their friends. What activities could they have enjoyed together?
I was going to say, like, I don't remember the Hedgehringers and the Quebecers ever being mates.
Riding tandem bicycles together.
Sid, what could the Hedgehringers and the Quebecers have done together?
Justin took my idea.
Tandem bikes.
Playing tetherball together.
Could have played Skyrim on a LAN.
Hang on, like a jungle gym or something. Monkey bars.
They could have played the brand new board game. The brand new board game, Jack Tunney's Clue.
No. It's Clueless.
I've got a card here that says it was Professor Plum in the dining room with a candlestick. Oh, if only I knew who did it.
Jack, it's right there. Start rubbing his face in it.
We'll never know. Anyway, I think it was mustard.
He start playing Risk. All right, Jack, I've invaded Siam. Have you?
Jack Tunney's.
Think you killed him. I think you killed him.
Jack Tunney game night on WWE Network. Book it.
That program is money for Tunney.
Fatu's like eating the tokens.
Check and furthermore, mate.
Jack, we're playing tic-tac-toe. Oh.
Jack, we stopped playing hours ago. Go home.
Pin the tail on the donkey, Jack. Jack's outside. Closer. Am I closer? Sure.
Yeah, man, whatever.
Everyone's just watching a stag film at this point. Jack's wanting to throw a field with a blindfold on. I'm doing good. So Jacques wants justice. And I'm thinking perhaps if he were a law enforcement officer.
I'm trying to find a killer.
Well, if Jacques wants justice, perhaps if he were a law enforcement official of some kind, he could get justice. Perhaps if he had a big red coat and like a pair of sunglasses that would indicate that he's a law enforcement officer.
Someone that could always get their man.
Exactly.
But handsome and brave and strong.
We then go to a man who has possibly more charisma than Jack Tunney.
Mate, I'm so excited. This guy. Stan Esposito. Hey, what is it like about Rico?
Tom, are you okay?
No, I'm very tired.
You just started singing Despacito out of nowhere.
No, his name is Stan Esposito.
Tom has superpowers.
Oh. His name is Stan Esposito. How they doing down in Puerto Rico?
So Stan Esposito at the time was the mayor of Stamford, Connecticut.
God, they get some right ringers in, don't they, as guests for Monday Night Raw. Just some old duffers in really old suits.
This man is drier than granola.
Do you like the really harsh white cut that they do at the start of this? It's as if they've had to mash together four or five takes to try and get this right.
That's probably what it was, because or maybe it's one of some tirade about I don't know, something awful, and they had edited that. Like, yeah, we probably shouldn't put that in there. No one's hearing about an orphanage burning.
Hi, I'm Stan Esposito, and as well as getting rid of all the orphans from Stamford, Connecticut, we're proud to work with the World Wrestling Federation. No, Stan, you can't say that. What do you mean? I hate orphans. No, Stan, mate. Stan, you can't say that.
I've been a wrestling fan for years. My heroes include Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. They don't work there anymore. Oh, sorry.
my heroes include Jimmy Snuka, Chris Benoit. Stan, mate, you're just controversy.
So anyway, WWE raised $60,000 for Stanford's library.
Congratulations.
Yes, good for WWE. That's all I have to say about that. Just, hey, charity.
Nothing quite like international content. Quite like showing us like how much money you raised for affluent Stamford.
Yes. And I'm going to read Hop on Pop to the kids.
I mean, it's a bit like, okay, it's a lovely thing to do. But I just think if you're trying to come across as like the good guy, like, why invest in Stamford, which is notoriously an affluent part of America?
Actually, no part they probably edited out is when Stan goes, by the way, Vince is not guilty.
Vince did nothing wrong.
We probably shouldn't put that in there. It would look bad.
Hi, I'm Stan Desposito. I'm the mayor of Stamford, Connecticut, and Vince's main drug pusher. We are proud to have worked with the WWE.
So Horian acted alone.
Hi, I'm Stan Esposito, the mayor of Stamford, Connecticut, and the Unabomber. We'd like to thank...
He wouldn't admit that on TV. Come on.
That's why they cut it out.
So we go from that bit of genius to the Heavenly Bodies versus John Paul and Jason Headings. And this is peak problem with WWE right here. Vince is trying to go on some Howard Stern tangent here, because Howard Stern's apparently this is when he announced he was running for president as part of the Libertarian Party. Meanwhile, Cornette's in the ring, you know, doing his spiel where he speaks very brilliantly and insults the fans or whatever and injures the Heavenly Bodies in the way that only Cornette can. And while Cornette's talking, Vince's like, "So about Howard Stern?" He goes, "Oh, shut up!" Because Cornette's daring to talk during his time in the ring.
I hate it. I hate, and I think we've talked about this before, I hate when commentators talk over the ring announcers. I hate it.
And we miss Cornette's entire spiel because Vince and Savage are going on about Howard Stern.
Utterly, utterly ridiculous.
I know. It does nothing for the show at all.
No, it doesn't.
Heavenly Bodies now have wings on their outfits.
This is a nice touch.
I can't tell if it's tacky good or good tacky.
What do you reckon, Sid? Tacky good or good tacky?
I'm going to go tacky good.
Hey!
It works for him.
I'm going to go tacky tacky.
Tacky tacky.
Oh, tacky tacky.
So we've seen John Paul before. He is a damn good enhancement talent.
John Paul is great, Sid. Honest to goodness. Like, he is in my top 10 of wimpy guys in the WWE. Top 10 of wimpies. He is amongst it.
It's my first time seeing Jason Headings, who I believe has the same hairstyle as Ozzy Osbourne in the Ultimate Sin era.
He used to look a bit like UK TV presenter Anthea Turner at this point. And it was a strong look for one.
Hang on, I'm Googling. Anthea.
Google Anthea Turner.
First thing comes up is Anthea Turner accident. Okay, what happened?
Oh yeah, where she something blew up on a live show, and
really?
Nearly killed her. She's fine.
Oh dear.
Ah, she's fine. It's fine. We laugh about it now. It was a motorbike backfiring next to her on a live show. Not even the worst thing that's happened on live UK morning television.
Okay, I see the hair. Does she ever race horses, Anthea Turner?
I don't know.
No, not that, because there's a photo of her wearing riding boots and holding a riding crop.
Might just be a kink thing.
Oh, it could be. Hey, to each their own.
She was very much a pin-up lady of the 90s, was Anthea Turner.
We all fancied
Anthea Turner in the 90s.
Well, she's about 60 now, and these are recent photos of some of these, and she's not that bad looking.
She's held up well.
So it seems. Good for Anthea Turner.
Well done, Anthea. Has
she held up as well as Stan Esposito, though?
No. Stan, I'm sure, is a powerhouse these days.
According to Stan, is now 71, so he was 46 then.
What?
You heard me.
He looks about 50, 60 odd.
Maybe he's Benjamin Button.
How is he like 9 years older than me?
Well,
that is terrifying. Is that what's going to happen to me in 9 years?
No, Tom, you're dying next year, remember?
Oh yeah. Woo! Oh, that's all right then. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
I need to
I'm dying next year. That's all right.
Thank God I won't have to look like Stan Esposito.
I can't wait till I look like Stan Esposito. I get on TV.
I've just figured out what Stan Esposito said that they cut out. It didn't know why it didn't occur to me. Hi, I'm Stan Esposito. I am the mayor of Hartford, Connecticut, and I am a woman from a family. And I use Duff.
And that's why they edited it, because he got the city wrong and his last name.
And he wasn't even from a family.
So
shockingly, he's not a woman.
Well.
So we learned two things during this match here. One, the Heavenly Bodies have some awesome tag team moves.
All that power bomb sit down thing they did was really nice.
Oh, absolutely. This is like Revival before Revival. Mm. And two, We learned that Kurt Hennig is a coward.
Yeah, they went to town on Hennig on the comms, didn't they?
Yes, see, as you may recall, Mr. Perfect was supposed to face Lex Luger on a series of live events because Perfect screwed Luger at WrestleMania, or more accurately, Luger screwed himself and Perfect called him out on it. But Kurt Hennig, at this point in real life, had a flare-up of back problems and could not go in the ring. So Crush replaced him on those house shows. Happens. But according to Vincent Savage, here's Savage's actual words about referring to Crush as the fill-in. He goes, he's bigger and badder and meaner and a better competitor than Perfect ever could be.
Jeez.
And this is the same Crush who almost killed Savage on several occasions.
Why so angry?
Because it's the WrestleMania Revenge Tour. Nobody knows shows that.
Angry boys.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I know. It's so Perfect won't show up again for about a year and a half after this.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, when do we next see him? Is it? I suppose it is that soon, isn't it? He does come back before 2002.
Yes, Survivor Series 95 comes back as a commentator.
I remember now.
That's kind of a surprise. But he was actually rumored at one point to be a Hulk Hogan's opponent for Starrcade 94.
Really?
Because he was supposed to be the masked man who had attacked him while he was feuding with Flair. But it turned out he had
blimey. That would have been fun. But I presume then there was contract things to stop that happening.
It was that. So thankfully, Brutus Beefcake filled in instead.
Oh, good. The workhorse that is Brutus Beefcake.
Don't you dare insult Brutus Beefcake. He's a Hall of Famer now.
Strutting and cutting in the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
I'll tell you what. People make fun of him. You watch like 89-90 WWF. He was over.
You watch 89-99 WWF. He was there.
No, I mean, he was not only super over, he was a lot better than people give him credit for.
Do you know what? You are right. I will put my hand up, put my tiny hand up in the air, and say that, indeed, I was a fan of Brutus the Barber Beefcake when I was growing up.
Yes, see? You can't even deny it.
I loved it. I loved the whole shtick. His outfit was great. He did the sleeper, cut people's hair. He was brilliant.
And may I add, as part of our holiday thing, we're watching the July 89th Saturday Night's main event. You will see him and Randy Savage have a 4-star match.
Oh.
And I'm guaranteeing that.
Yes, we are going to. I'm going to make a special announcement about this next week. Our very special plans over the Christmas holiday, sir.
Ah, yes.
Me and Justin will be going to a chalet in the middle of Finland, and we'll just have Christmas together.
Aww.
You want to come, Sid?
I'd love to come.
You can't. No, Justin.
Yes, he said you can't come because that's where I'm going to be leaving Tom for. That's where I'm going to be hanging out with Tom.
You're leaving Tom.
Wait a second. Well, see, the thing is, I only bought one round trip ticket, and I'm stronger than you.
This is why I'm dying. No, you can do it January 1st, because then at least my prophecy comes true.
All right.
I didn't say how I die next year. I mean, I'm assuming it's high blood pressure or like an anxiety attack. That'll be how I die. But I mean, if it's stabbed to death by Justin, I mean that's perfectly palpable too.
I don't need a knife.
I didn't say you use the knife.
I don't need a sharp implement.
You're not going to sharpen your. You're not going to cut your fingernails for about 3 months.
Yes, I'm already on that right now.
Excellent.
I'm Justin Scissorhands as we speak.
John. Justin Scissorhands.
Oh boy.
Thank you, mate.
Anyway, back to this wonderful, wonderful match, which Jason Headings, with his Ozzy Osbourne hair, takes the ultimate beating. Over and over, it's just one tag team move after another. It's like one colossal rib. They hit this odd-looking Vegematic on him. Get the assist to sit out. Powerbomb, as Tom mentioned. Cornette rubs his racket in Headings' face just for fun. I write Del Rey is repulsive as he does his gyrations over Headings' dead body. It's just a sustained beating. We get the backdrop moonsault combo. We get the double flapjack, followed by the standing moonsault finish from Del Rey. And I had to write while Del Rey was smiling. Is his tooth gone or is it just rotten?
I think I looked at this and I think it's just a dark colored tooth.
He is the gigolo.
Exactly. I think
this is the role.
I've got something similar on one side of my mouth where it looks like I'm missing a tooth, but I'm not. It's just because the one tooth I've got is a bit further back than the others, so a shadow is cast on it, so it looks like it's not there.
Well, to me, it adds your appeal, Tom.
Oh, thanks, mate.
It's a sign of sensitivity. You beautiful man, you.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. I had 8 teeth out when I was younger. I had so many months of orthodontic treatment to fix this smile. Because, this is a true story, just to go on a tangent, Sid and Justin. You'll balk at this, and there's a real low-hanging fruit gag at the very end of this, and one of you can grab it. That's absolutely fine. So, my dad has a small mouth and small teeth, and my mom has a bigger mouth with bigger teeth. My older brother Jim inherited my mom's big mouth and big teeth. My younger brother Mike inherited my dad's small mouth and small teeth. What did Tom inherit? Tom inherited his dad's small mouth and his mum's big teeth. So just carnage in my mouth growing up.
Tom, don't take offense to this, but that explains a lot.
There you go. neither of you went for the low-hanging fruit gag, and I appreciate that. That's very kind.
We wouldn't do that to you. We love you.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
I insult you in less obvious ways.
Yeah, you do actually. But I've got a gob full of less than most, but massive teeth.
It is very Milton Berle esque, your smile.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Or Milton Bradley.
Yes, Parker Brothers.
Karate fighters in my mouth. which wasn't how I spent my 20s. Sorry, carry on.
It's quite all right. I'm glad you made it out of that ordeal.
The karate fighters didn't.
As you sharpen your incisors on them.
I sharpen more than my incisors. Go on, mate. Carry on with the show.
Well, speaking of disheveled, we come to the King's Court. And it's here that Lawler informs us that Nikolai Volkov is $8 short of having 30 cents. That was a funny line.
Now, before this, Volkov looked surprised when he was invited on the show.
Yes.
Despite Vince McMahon announcing at the very beginning, Nikolai Volkov will be on the King's Court. And the camera going
Nikolai.
Right up to Volkov. Did everybody know Volkov was going to be on apart from Volkov?
Apparently. It's like, this is your life.
Oh, poor Volkov. What a suit, by the way. Sid, marks out of 10 for Nikolai Volkov's suit.
I give it a 7.
Oh, strong 7.
On a scale of 50.
I give it 8.5.
Yeah. Or as Lawler points out, he has a suit for every day of the year, and this is it. Lawler was just killer here. He clearly had to carry this segment. Apparently, Nikolai fell on hard times. Not Dusty Rhodes hard times, but different kind of hard times. Because he made some bad investments. Apparently, he invested in Radio WBF or something. But he has his health and he can wrestle. All right, slow down.
let's not jump to conclusions here.
Okay, you have your health. That's good. But see, this begs the question: if Nikolai has no money, how does he get front row seats?
He's calling in favors from Vince, isn't he? He's on the friends and family list.
It doesn't bode well for WWF, does it? It's like, you know, we have vagrants in the front row.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you should be selling out the front row. It's a shame that they're not.
Everyone in the front row has like a bindle with them.
Maybe. Like
scraggly beards.
Maybe it's cheaper to buy regular tickets to Monday Night Raw than a house.
It's, well, back then maybe it was.
So he just lives at whatever venue Raw is at.
Yes, he's hanging out in the Raw Iron Mike shirt, taking his long showers. gives him a little bit of company. They just hang out, two peas in a pod. So either way, Nikolai, he's having problems with this promo because he's A, very earnest when he talks. He doesn't really add any energy to it. And B, he has a very thick accent. But he talks about how he has his pride. He will not beg for a job. Lawler makes fun of him for being poor. Lawler has to emote in lieu of Volkov, not really emoting all that much. But Volkov says, you know, he's proud to sit among the people and all this, and you know, because they're good people. You know, they're casting Volkov in a very sympathetic light here.
Yeah, it's a hard time story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And Lawler's just kind of making fun of him for being poor, with as Jerry Lawler wants to do. But Volkov will not beg for a job. He has his pride and he has his dignity. And give him credit for this, he can still jump over the top rope at age 48.
Yeah, that's very true.
I couldn't do that.
Fair play to him. He's still got a little bit of skip in his step.
He was a damn good athlete. I mean, he was a power lifter in his younger days. That's how he actually got out of the Soviet Union. He emigrated to Canada on some sort of like athletic competition thing where he's competing in then like a bodybuilding or powerlifting contest, and he refused to go back. That's how he got into wrestling. He was in Canada, and then Stu trained him.
I kind of hoped that at the end of this, he would just smack Jerry Lawler a little bit.
Well, in about 3 weeks, you're going to get really, really depressed.
Oh.
Because Nikolai story takes a sad turn.
Oh, no. They don't take his suit off him. It's his only one. It's all he has. Well,
it's a very sad turn. They put him on commentary.
Do they?
No, they won't do that. It's sad for him, not
so
sad
excited.
For us. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry, that was Andre.
That was Andre doing Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah. That was Slim Jim. Ooh, yeah.
That is a really good Andre impression, mate.
You, Hulk Hogan, you are the ex-champion Hogan.
I am now the WWF Tag Team Champions.
I surrender the world title to Sean Jimmy Lassie.
Was that even English?
Anybody want a peanut?
That is a spot on Andre, mate. I think you should tour with that.
You've been mostly dead all day. I love Princess Bride. It's very as good. We all do.
Inconceivable if you wouldn't.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. 1-2-3 Kid versus Dwayne Gill. It's DX versus the Job Squad.
Love this. Love this. Are we a fan of Dwayne Gill with a lovely blonde bit of hair going on?
Did you say Berlond?
A lovely like, blonde hair. Just because I watched it recently, and with when he's bald, and when he turned up this week, I forgot he had that lovely blonde hair, and I think it suits him.
It really does. He looks like a Ninja Turtle with a mullet.
Battle of the former WWF Light Heavyweight Champions.
That is correct.
Uh-huh.
Vince is going on about Tom Arnold and Roseanne while Kid gets his nice slingshot clothesline. I really should point out here how the heat machine and the commentary dub-in has ruined the whole sound of this show.
It really has, hasn't it?
Like a big collision guy lands on the canvas, you don't even hear it. I'm going to get the photo now of Matthew.
Yeah, that sent a couple too many times.
Well, you look like you're having a lovely day.
Yeah, I am.
Matthew looks like he's just, I don't know, just spotted a Greg's opening up over the road.
He looks like a frog that someone's trying to a flashlight in the eyes of.
It looks like you're linking arms with him, Sid, as if to say, "We are married now."
What? No,
I was just trying to put my arm around him, just because I was like, "Hey, it's cool."
So he wouldn't fall over.
That too. It was very windy. It was very windy.
Matthew is many things, if not lopsided.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's lovely.
No problem.
So it's during this match that Savage plugs the ends of the earth and mentions that Lauren Hutton is his ex-girlfriend.
It's almost to the point now. I think, you know what? I think Savage has said probably a lot of nonsense in this, but because he top-ended the show with such a lot of nonsense, that we've almost just become a bit nose-blind to it.
Kind of.
We have, haven't we?
And Vince even criticizes Savage for being a bad read. Like, it's such a horrible job with that read. USA Never, I'm not going to let you do that anymore. Good, put me in the ring.
Make me wrestle instead. I'm up for this.
Like, no, Vince, don't put me in the ring. That would be terrible. That's it. You put your boots on, you get in that ring. No!
I hate you!
Don't put me in main event matches. That would just kill me. You're going to wrestle Brett for the title. God damn it. So Kid and Gil are having a good little match here. Kid is just, he was on top of the world at this point as a wrestler. He's just so full of energy. Finishes Gil with a spinning heel kick. And that's pretty much it. They ignore most of the match because they're doing Vince and Savage stuff.
It's a lot of Vince and Savage stuff.
And now we come to a moment that is going to precede a bunch of crap.
Yay! Now, I don't mind this too much.
Well,
I thought I'd
hate
this more than I thought I would.
It started out kind of innocent. It's going to get a whole lot worse than this. We have an Undertaker sighting. because he is now Bigfoot or a unicorn. Or Bigfoot riding a unicorn. We go into this random deli. The cameraman is trained upon one of the deli workers there, the butcher, who informs us that, yeah, Taker was in here the other day. Got a big 6-foot sub. He's, I guess you want a 3-foot sub. He says, no, give me a 6-foot sub. I give him salami. I give him ham, turkey, lettuce, cheese, tomato, onions. The works. I turn around and give it to him. And I turn around again to get the pig, give him his pickles. Turn around, and he was gone. Got the whole 6-foot sub.
Now, we have since learned that all of that is nonsense because Undertaker only eats at Nando's.
That's true.
He don't go to no Subway cart.
Well, I mean, a 6-foot sub could get it, you know, 6 foot under. Actually, that sounds pretty good right now, 6-foot sub. I'd probably eat at least half of it.
So just get a 3-foot one.
Yeah, but then I'd have 3 feet. It's like when Homer got that giant sub and then kept eating it until I got sick. Marge, I want to be alone with a sandwich. You're going to eat it, aren't you? Yes.
I had a mate that used to get 2 kebabs on the way home, and he would eat one, and then he put the other one on the radiator for the next day.
See, that's smart.
He's a clever guy. He runs Google now.
Oh, so he's still alive. Okay, that's good.
He's still alive. Unlike me next year.
Perhaps if you bought kebabs from on the radio, you'd live longer.
I might try it. I might eat one right now.
The butcher seemed so unenthusiastic. Like, I didn't even see a single emotion come from. His voice was, like, trying to emote, but his eyes were, like, dead. Like he looked like a cashier, like a Subway worker who just hated his life.
Well, you gotta understand something, Sid. I worked in a pizzeria steakhouse for a year and a half when I was younger, and we see everything in that place. So this guy, even though he's seen a 6'10" zombie come in and buy a sandwich, he's kind of nonplussed by because he's seen everything. And he talked about the New York accent. He's really seen a lot of stuff. Other day, this guy, he put him in a casket and they push him away. All of a sudden, he's floating to the heavens. And he starts talking about, you know, be not proud and all that stuff. And then he vanishes. It's really strange. Anyway, you want to, how you want your cold cuts? It's like that pretty much. So yeah, this guy has a bust and says, I'm going to slam the big Japanese guy. But then he knocks him out of the ring and there's a count out. He didn't win the belt. Anyway, you want pickles with that?
He talks like some taxi drivers that you get who have just lived this most amazing life, but they talk about it so nonchalant.
Exactly. And let me tell you something. You never ever want to be I didn't mind delivering food for a living when I was 20 years old, but you don't want to do it after a certain hour. I've seen some stuff.
Oh, really? That's another podcast in itself.
Oh yes, it's that should be a show. The times I've almost died at work.
By Justin Henry.
I don't know what that means. Anyway, we have a plug for King of the Ring, which I cannot wait for. That commentary with you, me, and Matthew, we're just going to shut up the entire time and listen to the third commentator.
Oh, we got our Donovan, haven't we?
Yes, we do.
Oh, hell on a plate. Yeah. This is going to be something else.
Yes, the hell we do. I'm so excited. So do you know who Art Donovan is?
Nope.
Watch that show. You'll know everything about Art Donovan that you need to know.
Okay.
Owen Hart versus Ramblin' Rich Myers. Always happy to see Ramblin' Rich.
Yeah, it's nice when he turns up.
It's announced that on Wrestling Challenges coming weekend, Owen Hart is going to wrestle Mo for Men on a Mission. Now, you might think that match is irrelevant. I recommend you go on YouTube right now and Google Owen Hart, or just search Owen Hart versus Mo. You will learn two things about that match. One, Mo is really good at selling. And two, Oscar is the exact opposite of selling.
Okay.
I'll spoil it for you. The match is an injury angle where Mo blows his knee out on the floor and Owen wins via stoppage. And Mo is selling it as though his knee is completely destroyed, just grimacing in pain, trying to grab the ropes to get up. He can't do it. His leg is screwed. So Owen, being the ultimate sadist, jumps to the floor after celebrating, starts kicking Mo's leg, throws him back in the ring, puts him in the sharpshooter just to be an asshole, and Mo is screaming in pain. Meanwhile, Oscar is just like nonplussed, just standing there like completely as though he were Matthew. Like
staring off into the distance.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're pretty happy just to have Oscar shut up, to be honest.
Oh yeah, but it's just you see the poor opposites here. Like Mo is doing like a hell of a job in getting Owen over as this filthy sadist. Like just screaming in pain about his knee being ripped apart. And it actually is a bit harrowing just like how into this he is. Whereas Oscar's just kind of just like he's just he's wearing a Halloween mask that doesn't move. It's like Mo is great there, Oscar not so much. We get a bit during this match where Owen slaps Myers across the face really hard, and Savage informs us, and I'm quoting here, "That wasn't just a slap; that was a slap."
Savage, that's the same word.
Very good, Sid.
Rectum, damn near rectum.
It's like,
what? Now, don't know what that means.
And he extended the second slap. Goes, that wasn't just a slap, that was a slap. If he did that, that'd be different.
I wonder whether it's one of those things where he wrote it down, and when he wrote it down the second time, he put a capital S and an exclamation mark.
They're not even wearing a smile, nod suggestively.
Maniacal laugh.
Yes, we're seeing the fading days of Randy Savage here, unfortunately.
Are you kidding? He's been on fire this week.
Well, usually when you're on fire, eventually you perish.
Oh, nice.
Which reminds me, never mind.
Why does? Yeah, that's fine. I'm dying next year. I'm over it. It's fine. Rich Myers.
Rub it in, that's all.
Rich Myers, yes. Looks like he is going to a Halloween costume, at a Halloween party as Owen Hart. But he forgot to buy the outfit. So he's had to sort of make do with what he's got in the cupboard.
Kind of, yeah. He looks like every hockey player from the 80s.
It's a strong look he's got going on there.
It's a hell of a mullet. Mm-hmm. I read before that he was actually the son of George the Animal Steele, although I don't know how true that is. And based on his facial expressions, I kind of see it a little bit.
Yeah?
Because George Steele was James Myers, and this is Rich Myers, so put two and two together.
Yeah, it could possibly make sense.
Owen applies a Steiner recliner at one point, which is the modified camel clutch, while Vince pays tribute to the late Richard Nixon.
Who used to do the Steiner recliner quite a lot.
It was part of my foreign policy. I am not a big bad booty daddy.
He is as well.
Richard Nixon. I'm sorry, I'm picturing Richard Nixon for my picture, my
friend. Whoa, are you picturing Richard Nixon or Scott Steiner?
I sure am.
Is that what you're doing? Is that what you're doing? If only there was someone that could bring that image to life. If only
Jason Hedges, get on it.
Somebody who I think lives near me, based on his tweets in the morning. If only there was someone who could bring that picture to life.
Wait. I'm not letting that slide. Based on his tweets in the morning, does he stand out your window and just stare at you while you sleep?
Yes.
John?
John,
number one, stop doing that. Number one, stop doing that. And two, I want Big Papa Pump Richard Nixon.
On you go, pal. Thank you, mate. Love you, mate.
We need some Watergate math.
It's a 33.33% chance that I've ruined the system.
The numbers don't lie. And that's why I'm going to resign in 1974.
Imagine David Frost trying to interview Scott Steiner.
Oh, my goodness.
Wouldn't have stood a chance.
Forget this podcast. We need to make that happen.
Well, David Frost is a bit dead, so I don't think that'll happen. Okay, get Michael Sheen to play David Frost again.
That Dick Cabot's live. We'll just get him.
Yeah, that'll do.
Missed dropkick. Owen applies a sharpshooter. Wins by submission. Owen won't let go because he's a dick. Let's go. And then drops it. And hits him with a knee drop just for fun. And as he fades the commercial, Owen puts the Bret Hart sunglasses on Rich Myers' head. And they just cut away. So we don't know what happened afterwards.
I think he let him keep them.
Well, yeah, it's part of his pay.
It's very kind of him.
Very kind of him. We come back from break, and Vince and Savage are at ringside with old Super Mario himself, Captain Lou, who is very happy. He's so happy he hugs Vince, who looks perturbed.
Vince doesn't get many hugs.
No, he doesn't. But like sneezes to him. Albano is happy because his men are getting attacked hell shot next week. Hedrick versus the Quebecers. Now comes Raven in his nice gray suit. He's yelling at Albano. Savage backs Raven off because at this point he's doing anything to get in for a match. I'll wrestle him, please, please.
He's just desperate to get back amongst it, isn't he?
Yes. Have a Polo's Rules match.
That'll do.
Savage ends up holding Raven while Lou punches him. Jacques and Pierre hit the ring. And that's it. That's the show.
That was all right.
Yeah, it was better than last week.
Yeah, it was not crap.
It was very not crap.
That is a glowing
indictment. This is the time that we live in now, where when a show is very not crap, it's actually a benefit.
Yes, it was not terrible.
It's a sad state of affairs.
It was less sucky.
I thought the I thought the Jarrett Ramon match, I think on mute, would probably be very good. I think the commentary drowned it out. I thought the Heavenly Bodies looked great. As you said, rightly, like a modern day revival, like an old time revival.
Mm-hmm.
They look great. Really, really like that a lot. Those are the two bits I liked.
It was a fine show. It was just hour three of a taping. They were just throwing matches out there and putting exposition and or nonsense over them. So it was just your typical hour three of a taping episode. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. Sid, what did you think of it?
Like I said, way better than last week, but that was pretty easy to do. You could have, there were so many things you could have done, and it still would have been better than last week. But I felt like, yeah, the Heavenly Bodies got a really good showing. And I actually ended up rewatching Razor and Jeff Jarrett on mute. So I didn't hear the commentary, and it actually was a really good match. And I kind of wish they didn't overtake it with their commentary, but I mean, it was still a really good match. And yeah, I thought it was a good show.
There you go. So what have we got next week then, Justin?
We have the Headshrinkers versus the Quebecers for the tag team titles. That is confirmed on air. Nothing else confirmed on air, but let's browse through the episode real fast. I won't give away too much exposition if I don't have to.
Yeah. Try not to ruin some of the allure.
I'm looking through here. It's a pretty basic show otherwise. Although the Superstars taping this week is in Albany, so we have that joke in there.
Hey, we can keep the gag. We can keep the steamed clams gag going.
Oh, well, not really, because we're not doing Superstars. But hey, I mean, more things we thought of it.
Fine.
We thought of it.
Welcome to the Cultaholic Classic Superstars review. From the very beginning. Oh, God.
Okay. SD Jones versus AJ Petruzzi.
John, Photoshop. No, don't, mate. It's fine. There's nothing to Photoshop there. All that remains to say is thank you to our very special guest, Sidney Zemowitz, for joining us once again.
Thanks for having me.
Honor and indeed and privilege. And to Justin Henry, an honor and privilege to you too.
As it should be.
What's the weekend got in store for you, sir?
Well, I'm watching Full Gear on Saturday night.
You mean tonight?
That's right.
Nudge, wink, wink, kayfabe. You mean tonight? You mean right now?
Yes, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to be buying up all the snacks I can get. Yeah. Head over to my brother's house because he's hosting it. And we're going to enjoy some Full Gear.
Oh, we'll have a lovely time. Sid, what are you doing?
Yesterday, I had work. I had work at about 5, so I'm going to be working a women's basketball game up at MSU. So that should be fun. It'll be my first, actual game where people have tickets and stuff like that. And then also today, I'm going to be watching Full Gear as well, but I'm just going to be doing it with my family and minus Austin because he's not coming home, so screw him.
Oh, what do you mean he's not coming home? Have you fallen out?
No, his way of saying it was he's been home three weekends in a row, so he wants to stay up this weekend.
Yeah, screw him then.
So the Rocker split started.
It is indeed. The Rockers wouldn't come home to watch Full Gear either. That's exactly what they're on. Well, next time, she is at SAZoomer4 on Twitter.
Yep.
Hey, he is at JRHWriting on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. I love you. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.